funny looking notes on sheet music found in the old Redback songbook, where hymns and harmony live, mercy's well, today.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
And convention style music has to be one of the most original forms of music that we have in America, and especially in gospel music. I mean, I think it's traced back probably to the roots of it. Now, these guys are not old, and I don't even know if they really grew up singing shape notes like your grandma and grandpa may have. But they've gone back and they've paid tribute and they've done a great job with it. And their name, it's a trio, and Mercy's Well. And first of all, why would a trio attempt to do something that maybe quartets have been known for doing? Did you find a challenge there where you had all these parts? That's what convention style is known for, is going all over the place, all over the board, and you have three voices to do that with.
Yeah, it was a little difficult because a lot of the old convention style songs even had bass lead outs. And so what we did was just try to be a little more creative with the way that we approached songs. There is one in particular, He Will Surely Make It All Right, that has the old bum, 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 that kind of thing going on. And it was, we just kind of took a little different approach and X'd out the bass part on that particular one. But now we did do our share of bass singer songs. We had a couple of guest vocalists on this, Gene McDonald, and also Paul Harkey with the Anchorman. Helped us out. Two
couple of great voices. Oh, they're great.
Absolutely.
They're great. And that, by the way, is the voice of the extraordinary head dude of Mercy's Well, Brad Strider. And Greg Gaynor is sitting to his right. And new kid on the block, Kyle King. And with a name like that, you're destined to be something great, I imagine, huh?
I agree.
So at the date of this taping, how long have you been here?
6 months. Yeah. Getting there. May.
That's about right, yep.
Has the probation period run out on him yet?
we're still working on that.
So you guys, we want to do two things. Introduce the world to Mercy's Well. And we're going to play some of your more standard music, but we're going to do a major focus on this project. And this is not necessarily your latest, but this is one that has caught the attention of a lot of folks, because I don't care how many times you go back and do a hymns project, this stuff really kind of stands out because it is so different. Not every church sings this kind of music, so a lot of people are introduced to it for the first time, and I'm sure you find those stories to be true. And do you stage these a lot now?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what's the response you get?
Wow. That is amazing. People start clapping halfway through some of the songs we do because they just like the feel and the it's just a happy music. It's like I tell folks every night, you know, you put something like this in your CD player, it's, if you're having a bad day, it puts a smile on your face. So
it's so different than anything that churches are doing now. And I love, you know, what churches do now. We love, you know, praise and worship music. We love new inspo contemporary music, that kind of thing. I love it all. If it's good music, it's good music. But there's something kind of cool about this, and the syncopated rhythms and the counter melodies and things like that. It just people, it's a novelty thing, I guess, for people that are younger, that are not familiar with it. And then the ones that, you know, the grayer hair in the audience may remember that from their childhood.
What I like about the convention style stuff is it's old, but again, it kind of has this, every time you hear it, it kind of brings a new, I don't know, this new, it's attention getting, I guess. And so I love to look into maybe the marketing is the term you would use of Southern gospel. And when you find people who aren't naturally drawn to Southern gospel and they don't think they like it, and they start classifying it as a stereotype of this or that, and they think this is predictable, then you play them a convention song and it's like, it's out of left field sometimes because you have all those counterparts going and sometimes all at the same time. And then they all meet back up on that last note and it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. So if you really understand how it was written, how the melodies, even the lyrics are different. You're singing different lyrics on top of each other. You have to multitask not only to perform the music, but to listen to it. You're multitasking because you're hearing two or three different messages that are saying the same thing, using different words, and then they come together. So, I mean, that just shows
it's not good for ADD people.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's good music, and it's Mercy's Well. And by the way, this is, I guess, a third part of a hymn series that you guys have done, but this one focuses on the convention stuff specifically. And that's what we're listening to today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
That'll be a happy morning over the sea, when the cares of life shall pass away.
Shall pass away forever.
You'll be there to welcome all the ransomed and free, when they ring the bells of heaven on that day.
Hallelujah.
When they ring the bells of heaven, ring the bells of glory, when redeemed are gathered on that day. Everybody singing, what a happy meeting, when they ring the bells of heaven on that day.
Press along rejoicing through this unfriendly land. Glory land is waiting all the way.
The sun is always shining.
That'll be a glad homecoming, won't it be grand,
when they ring the bells of heaven on that day.
When they ring the bells of heaven,
heaven ring the bells of glory, when redeemed are gathered on that day.
On the hallelujah morning,
everybody singing, what a happy meeting, when they ring the bells of heaven on that day. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Ring the bells of heaven, ring the bells of glory, when we are gathered on that day.
The bells of heaven on that day. Everybody will be happy over there. When they ring the bells of heaven, ring the bells of glory, when they ring the bells of heaven on that day.
Mercy's Well is with us. That's Greg, Brad, and Kyle. And the three have put their touch on some wonderful convention-style music. But now, you run the risk when you do something like this and people take notice. You guys have been singing for a long time. Mm-hmm. That maybe this is what you become known for in some circles. Have you had that happen yet?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We've had more requests for a second volume of this particular CD than anything else we've done in the hymn series. We kind of jump around a bit because we've also become known as... in radio is sending out a little more progressive, modern Southern gospel sure. sounds, right. Even the pop country things like Sun Will Shine Again and I'll See You Soon and whatnot. But I love going back and doing this kind of stuff because we do 97-98% probably of our dates are in churches, and churches are so diverse that we try to have something for everyone, from 90-year-old grandma to the 10-12-year-old that would love, maybe some of the more upbeat things that we do. But then they're also the ones that come to the table and want this convention style album. It's kind of neat because I see a lot of the kids come up and say, that's the one I want. I want the one with that song that you did. So, particular God Put a Rainbow, when it's got the Somewhere Over the Rainbow part in it.
Right.
And they love that and it catches their attention. So what we try to do is take these old songs and then breathe a little new life into them.
When God shut Noah in the grand old ark, put a rainbow in the cloud. When the thunders rolled and the skies looked dark, God put a rainbow in the cloud.
When they put old Daniel in the lion's den,
he put a rainbow in the cloud. Ooh.
Just to prove his promise to the sons of men,
he put a rainbow in the cloud. God put a rainbow in the cloud. Like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the cloud.
Way down yonder in Egypt's sand,
God put a rainbow in the cloud.
Just to lead his children to the promised land,
God put a rainbow in the cloud.
Now the Jordan's deep and the Jordan's wide, children to the other side.
God put a rainbow in the cloud. God put a rainbow in the cloud. God put a rainbow in the cloud.
Some
I may be wrong here, but I can see in the most contemporary church services of a very traditional Southern gospel group going and doing a very, by traditional, I mean, you know, the four chords and clouded glory type stuff, and maybe not it not working because it's a very contemporary church, but at the same time, maybe doing a convention style song and somehow it would work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it doesn't make sense, but somehow it would work because it's so impressive. It crosses the musical. Like, if you don't like Southern gospel, give a listen to this old stuff. It's even older, and it's the early, I think it's the earliest form of what we call Southern gospel.
Yeah.
And somehow, isn't that strange that the oldest form is kind of, in a way, more universal,
yeah,
musically speaking? So I don't know. It's cool stuff, and I like it. And with Stapes Baxter School of Music and all who have done their part in trying to keep the convention style alive, good job to you guys too, because it's certainly doing its thing. Greg, how long have you been with the group?
5 years.
5 years. And Brad, you started the group, right?
Yeah.
How many years ago?
That was in 2001 when the actual name Mercy's Well started.
So it's almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost 10 years. Yeah. Soon be next year.
And Brad, by the way, excuse us, he is listed as executive producer.
Wow.
That just means I pay for it. That's all that means.
And Greg being
nobody,
being the next, well, you've been here half of the 10 years. He asked, what say did you get in this project?
I mean, we had a lot of say. It's just like every CD we do. We sit down, we listen, much like a lot of groups, sit down and listen to tons of music. We get demos in from writers all over the country. And with this one, this was kind of unique. Brad just actually had, and I do too, because I played piano in church for years, had a lot of the old Redback hymn books and, you know, old song books. And so basically laid a whole gamut of music out, and we went through and strategically picked out the songs that we liked. I mean, I had a say in a couple of songs that I wanted to put on here. He did. And, you know, so it worked out really neat in the fact that I was able to do, you know, a couple of songs that I really wanted to do that I've been playing on the piano for years. So he doesn't run everything. He does allow us some say-so in
just
some of the songs.
Just 99.5%.
That's right. When it came time to, and I know Donna Beauvais, who is a wonderful producer, produces your stuff. As you say, the progressive sounds and these more traditional and old convention style stuff. She did all that as well. So whose idea was it to stay simple in the instrumentation, orchestration of everything? I mean, pretty much you're down to piano and organ in a lot of cases.
Yeah, right? It's something that we have kept a common theme through the entire hymn series. The first one was just, you know, standard church hymns kind of thing. The second one was Christmas CD that was done with piano only. And then this one, we just wanted to stay true to the roots of what this music was, because, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of percussion when these songs were done. I mean, the piano becomes the percussion the way, you know, the way with the syncopated left hand things that the piano's doing. It's a very percussive sound, and it's just neat. I mean, one of my favorite ever, Tracy Phillips. I went to Stapes Baxter School of Music when I was 15. Shout out to Ben Spear on that, because that's what, I mean, there's nothing like a 100, 150, 200 voices singing this kind of music. And then you have somebody like Tracy Phillips that is you know, pretty much a one woman orchestra. And, it's just amazing to hear that. So we wanted to keep it very simple, back to the roots. We did put a little bit of, bass guitar on it, acoustic bass, to try to stay with the old feel to it, but it still has a real new, fresh feel to it, even though it's very old.
Well, I think the voices, and this is something that I have not figured out yet, but when you go back and listen to, I mean, even back to the Statesmen and Blackwoods, and they were starting to improve in their sound technology and recording, obviously, as they, I mean, they were making some major changes in those days. But still, it's the old recordings, quote unquote, old singers sound, pardon the term, but old. I don't know what it is about it, and I love it, but they have, I don't know if it was the way they sang or if it, I haven't put my finger on it yet. But just your young voices on these old songs is breathing new life to the music, I think. So now you don't miss the orchestrations. You don't miss all the highly produced stuff, because I know you've got Gordon Mode on here on piano and like you said, the acoustic bass. And then when the organ kicks in, now some people don't like organ, but when the organ kicks in and does a run here or there, that sounds like you just all of a sudden brought in the strings or something. I mean, the orchestra. Because when you've, if you, as you listen to the project, you're used to just the piano sound, And of course, that piano is all over the place. And then when the organ kicks in, my, it's just like, it's like you're listening to more instruments than you really are.
Yeah. Well, you listen to some of the old Statesman albums, and there was a lot of organ on there. I didn't realize how much, you know, yeah. And sometimes it was very church organ sounding. It wasn't the Hammond B3 sound that we have on this album, but, you know, some of it was real interesting. But I gained an appreciation for these singers because, you know, they didn't have the technology we did. They just had to sing it till they got it right. Generally, they didn't have multi-track recording and whatnot. So it was a learning experience for that, for sure.
Songs that a lot of these were shorter than your average song.
Yes. Yeah. You listen to a lot of recordings back in the day. There's a lot of songs that are under 2 minutes, well, you know, a minute 51 seconds or something like that, because they didn't do a lot of turnarounds. They didn't a lot of tags. They just sang the song.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And we talked to Gordon Mote in the studio, and there was one song we asked him. He said, is it long enough? Does it feel long enough? And Gordon said something that I will never forget. He said, those people back then had it right.
Yeah.
He said a lot of times we tend to lengthen songs unnecessarily. Yeah. And get into that orchestration thing and you start milking it for milking the sound for all it's worth. So, but I thought that kind of stuck out in my mind that he said that.
Well, since they're short, let's hear a few back to back here. It's Mercy's Well Songbook, Where Hymns and Harmony Live. It's a tribute to the convention style of music. And you're hearing it on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Once I traveled the downward road, headed for eternal loss, till I
and ask Jesus in, kneeling at his rugged cross. He has given me joy and peace, blessings I would not exchange. All the way, every day, come what may, I can say Jesus' love has made a change. Jesus' love has made a change. My life he has rearranged. Now no longer my steps shall roam. Glory fills this heart of mine. Nevermore shall I repine. Now I'm making my way toward home. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing. Because my soul is free, I'm singing happy praises with perfect harmony. I'm living in a brand new day. He has washed my sins away. Jesus' love has made a change.
Sinful days are gone, I am his. What a joy to know his love. I'm rejoicing along the way, going to my home above. Oh, Jesus gave me a song to sing. When he saved and set me free,
he's the light day and night. I will fight for the right.
Since he made a change in me,
Jesus' love has made a change. My life he has rearranged. Now no longer my steps shall roam. Glory fills this heart of mine. Nevermore shall I repine. Now I'm making my way. I'm rejoicing because my soul is free. I'm singing happy praises with perfect harmony. I'm living in a brand new day. He has washed my sins away. Jesus' love has made change. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing because my soul is free. I'm singing happy praises with perfect harmony.
And friends with Mercy's Well. That's Kyle, Greg, and Brad. And by the way, this music is available at your website, I know.
Yeah, mercieswell.com.
Easy enough.
Yep.
Hey, while we're talking, we are talking convention, but we're talking the history of your group and celebrating 10 years. What is, what's the story behind the name of the group? First of all, was it Mercy's Well 10 years ago, or did it go through name changes?
It did go through one name change, but that was simply the roots of the group go back to 1998. Me and a friend of mine were singing just locally. It was just a duet. We called it Strider and Marsh, and we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have any great name. We didn't really have a group. We just went out and did revivals at churches around close to home and things like that. Never really had any aspirations to take it any further. But the Lord started blessing, and in 2001, we decided to add a third part, and we didn't want to call it Strider, Marsh, and something else because it sounds like a law firm. But but we just decided we were looking for a name, and we had a song picked for an album, and we were just racking our brains because there's a lot in a name, and you don't want to pick a stupid name or something you're going to be stuck with forever. And we had a song called Mercy's Well, and we just started just saying that, and it just felt good. It felt right.
Wow. Well, in those years, have you gone through, I don't want to say growing pains, but what have you learned in the 10 years of managing a group and the sound of the group and the identity of a group, establishing that?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we've figured out over time. And I'll have to give some credit to when we stuck with the same producer through the entire process with Donna Beauvais. She kind of helped us to define what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd worked with a lot of great producers in the past, but it was something that we wanted to keep a common sound, even through from the new music to the old music. And she's helped us to do that. I don't know, it's just learning that you need to do something for everyone, mm-hmm. I think is what I have learned in the 10 years, because when we first started, we were pretty narrow in what we did, and it was just a certain style, and that was it. And we kind of started growing in that when mm-hmm. doing the, I always tell people we take kind of two steps forward and one step back with the hymn series. We'll do new music, and we'll take two steps forward, and then we'll kind of soften it back a little bit with stuff that people are really gonna love, and it doesn't get too far away from the Southern gospel roots.
Days are filled with care. The load is hard to bear. My path is always rough and steep. Should I complain? Trust in Jesus' name. I know that He, my soul, will keep.
Leaning on the arms of Jesus, safe from every harm. Whenever He's walking close beside me, I know His love will guide me as I wend my homeward way up there to God's eternal. Shore. Wonderful end of joy and gladness, never a pain or tear or sadness. Then we'll shake the hands of friends and loved ones gone before. To them again to part, no, never. We'll live up there forever while the endless ages roll. Never a pain or tear or sadness. Then we'll shake the hands of friends and loved ones gone before. To them again to part, no, never.
Is Kyle, and I think you found Kyle in Lynchburg, Virginia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Kyle, what's it feel like to be a part? I don't know what you did before, but I don't think you did professional singing. So, what does it feel like to now be on the road, traveling as much as y'all travel, and being on recordings and being in radio studios and just doing the artist thing?
Well, it's really cool. It's kind of different than I thought. Some parts are harder than I thought. Other parts are not as hard as I thought. And I guess I sort of wanted to add on to what Brad was saying earlier as far as the history of the group, you know, forming an identity and all that stuff. You know, I haven't been here the whole time. I'm the new guy, but I would say that You know, my hat's off to, I don't think Brad gives himself enough credit for the hard work that he put into building this group. I mean, I work full time for the group now as the booking agent, and I'm out there calling and contacting churches, and it's as hard as it is at times. I can't imagine what it was like 10 years ago.
Right, right.
When, you know, at least when you say Mercy's Well Now in certain circles, you know, people have heard of us. Sure. They know who we are. They've heard us on the radio. But going back to even 8 years ago when we didn't have songs out on the radio, I can't imagine how tough it was then. Yeah, but just the persistence of Brad and Greg and Donna all adding to that. But as far as life on the road, it's great. It's fun. I'm young and energetic and got, hey now. Yeah. But I like it. These guys are great. They're like family.
Well, Brad, hats off to you. I do know that you have a strength and a passion for professionalism and classiness and putting your best foot and face forward. And you have a knack for graphic design, and that obviously goes maybe into the marketing package. But sometimes marketing sounds kind of harsh and cruel when you're talking about a ministry aspect. But honestly, you do have to go out there with your best foot forward and do things in a classy way.
Absolutely.
And professional way.
All right. Well, talking about breaking stereotypes, I mean, sometimes you have to work really hard to make sure that people don't think, because there's a certain segment of the population that no matter what you do, they're going to think Southern gospel has a hokey feel to it,
right.
Or it's old people's music or whatever the different stereotypes that it has. But I'm hoping we're breaking some of those molds and we're taking Southern gospel into places that it's never been, especially in some of the churches with maybe the larger Southern Baptist churches that are maybe moving toward contemporary. Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time when we're scheduling dates. They say, well, we like you guys because your style is so varied. You can come in mm-hmm. and do this kind of music and that kind of music and really do a great variety of stuff. And it kind of, you know, you don't want to say appeases their audience because, you know, there is that struggle in church of contemporary versus traditional worship. Sure. So we kind of bridge that gap a little bit.
Chains that once held you and me.
Greg Gaynor is with Mercy's Well, and he's been here the second longest, I guess, 5 years. What intrigued you to joining with Brad to singing gospel music? What got you started? I know you mentioned you play, you're a piano guy, and you're a vocalist and very good at that. So, I mean, how'd you get into all that? How'd you get started?
I had sung with a couple of different groups in North and South Carolina through the years, and it was always something that I wanted to do. It was one of those things where, I mean, artists tell younger people all the time, just follow your dreams. If you ask the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, I had sung for 7-8 years with different groups, two, namely, and just really got burnt out. You come to a place where, you know, you're young and you're spending every waking moment on the weekends traveling, singing in churches, and you just kind of go, it's almost like an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
All my friends are out, having get-togethers and, all kinds of stuff. And here I am ministering every weekend. But so I took a year off. I went and played for my grandparents' church in South Carolina. I was full-time pianist on staff there and had no intentions of singing anymore with another group. And I came across his ad looking for a singer. And I know a lot of people in and around the Charlotte-Lancaster area in South Carolina. And so I thought, well, maybe I can help this guy find somebody. He's only 2 hours up the road. So I shot him an email off, and he said, come on up and let's meet. And the rest is history. I walked in that night. We sat down around the piano and started singing, and I just immediately fell in love with the sound. And, another thing was, this was young guys. You know, I'd always traveled with older folks, and so it was a breath of fresh air. So I really thought about it a couple of weeks and prayed about it, and made the decision, and for 2.5 years, I traveled 2 hours and 15 minutes back and forth to meet until I finally just decided to, it was time for me to make a move. I need to put feet to it. So I sold my house in South Carolina, moved up here, and been here now almost 3 years. Almost. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I believe Him, that life will be sweeter someday. I'm gonna trust Him, never doubt Him, no matter what the folks may say. I can't turn away from Him lightly, because the joys of heaven I'll miss. For I will live on up in glory after a while, after a while. Don't you know I'm gonna sing with the angels above? I'm gonna talk to the ones that I love. I'm gonna tell Him about my troubles after a while, after a while. Well, I'm gonna march down the streets of pure gold. I'm gonna talk to the prophets of old. I'll be happy up in glory. After a while, oh, it gets sweeter,
sweeter,
as the days go by,
days go by.
Oh, it gets sweeter, as the moments fly. His love is richer, troubles after a while, after a while. Well, I'm gonna march down the streets of pure gold. I'm gonna talk to the prophets of old. I'll be happy up in glory after.
Mercy's Well's with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends, and we've been playing a lot of convention-style music, and of course, coming from the producer's mind of Adonna Beauvais, who is a wonderful talent in our field, and you guys would agree.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what passion. I mean, you've met someone with such passion, that woman.
She's everything. I mean, everything she does, she puts everything into. Yeah. So it's great. Yeah.
She wished me a happy birthday the other day, and I thought the words on the page were going to jump off and give me a hug or something. Just how, like, my goodness, everybody has a birthday. Come on. Yeah. Adonna Beauvais, and we can't say enough good about her. Okay, you guys have fun when you're on the road. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you guys aren't in a big, luxurious tour bus with elbow room. You guys are in a smaller vehicle pulling a trailer, and you kind of remind me of some of the, talking about the old convention stuff, the old five passenger car deals, where you just had to get in there and do it and hope your wax records didn't melt. And, so you guys have, I'm sure you've got times where you're like, wish we could fly to a date, or I wish we had a driver, or something like that. How do you keep it lighthearted on the road?
Humor. I mean, it's just being funny, and you don't have to look far on the road to find something that's going to make you laugh.
Just pass somebody.
You can be on the side of the road and just see something, and usually the funniest things happen at 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I bet.
And we joke around, we pick on each other a whole lot, and I think that's what keeps it light. I mean, Kyle's the youngest member of the group, but he's the one that wants to go to bed the earliest. So his nickname is Paw Paw on the road. And so Greg and I are in our 30s and we're the ones staying up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. But to be fair, a lot of times he'll be up at 7 o'clock.
And we aren't.
And I'm not. I'm very grumpy at that time of day. But just doing things. People watch a whole lot. We're in a restaurant or something. It's just theater when you're watching stuff like that.
Speaking of people watch, there is Brad Strider's look has defined him now. There are a few people in gospel music you just know by their presence. And so being that you are lighthearted, I know you will not find offense in me saying this. and we have it on public record now if you do, so you have lots of evidence, but I'll say it anyway. He's a fun-loving guy, and if you don't believe me, those of you in our television audience can see, he's kind of like, you remember American Tale? The cartoon, the Fievel, the little mouse, and then there was the cat. He's kind of like the cat mixed with Michael Lord mixed with David Phelps. Yeah. And you've got Brad Strider. Am I right, Greg?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, we have people come up all the time. Oh, you sang with Bill Gaither, didn't you?
And I just usually say, yes. It was a wonderful experience. It was funny when I had my hair shorter than it is now.
Right.
It was cut exactly the same way Michael Lord's was. Pretty much back then, when the short hair and the little spiky thing in the front. I was at Quartet Convention one year, and Kim came up. We met each other in the aisle, and her eyes got big as saucers. And she came up to me, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, you look just like my husband." And so it's kind of funny how that worked out. She said,
she recognized it. Start fussing at you for something that at home.
She didn't. Yeah, whatever. But she said, your eyes are blue and his are brown. She said, but other than that, you look almost identical. Because we have the same goatee, the same, he's always been trying to copy my look. I don't know what the deal is with that, but...
And Phelps, kids, I think, come up and say, and they get all excited, and then you just open your mouth and you imitate him wonderfully.
Oh, so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, so Kyle, the young kid's Paw, you are all these other people wrapped up into one. Yeah. Who's Greg? Does he keep it serious?
Kind of like a bad penny. Just keeps turning up.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding. And no, Greg is... I don't know. Greg is a mixture of both. I mean, Greg can be sometimes quiet. Like you may not hear from him for 2 hours in the vehicle, and then all of a sudden he won't shut up, that kind of thing. I think he's a little introspective at times, and in early mornings you don't talk to him at all until he's had about 20 coffee. Cups of coffee. But I don't know. He's really know he has a nickname. I had to think on that one. I'm sure I could find one, but
people say I look like Dale Jr.
Yeah, well, he has got.
I don't see it, but
Dale Earnhardt Jr. He drives a lot like him.
So
maybe that's
true.
That's how you get to all those dates in 1 week's time.
Yeah, the West Virginia Turnpike on cruise control. That's always interesting.
Pilgrim
songs for Jesus, we are happy and free. Bound for regions of perfect song, serving Him truly gives us full victory.
So brother,
leave your sorrows and come along. Why should we be children of God and sad? Lift our voices in jubilee. Sorrows and come with me. Nothing could cause us to turn back in the race. Bound for regions of perfect song, Jesus abundantly supplies us with grace. Leave your sorrows and come along. Why should we be children of God is sad? Lift our voices in jubilee. Oh, be glad for things are things are not bad, my brother. Leave your sorrows and come along with me.
Do la so do la so mi so mi so mi so. Do la so do la so.
Lift our voices in jubilee. Oh, be glad for things are not bad, my brother. Leave your sorrows and come with me.
Hey, the series is called... Do you have a name for the series?
No, it's just been a volume 1, 2, and 3, but they've all had a similar... it's always had the hymns in it somewhere.
It's always had the hymns.
Yeah, the first one was hymns, Stories for Life, Stories That Live. And then the second one was December, Hymns Where the Story Began. And then the third one was Songbook, Where Hymns and Harmony Live.
And I love the way you, again, going back to marketing creativity, not only did you put together a CD and a very nicely packaged CD, but you also went back and had an actual LP press.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had a limited number run on those.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
It is fun.
In fact, I heard, I think it was Paul Heil, mm-hmm. actually said, we're going to play a song, but we're not just going to play it. We're going to play it from the album, from the LP, and give you that feel. So now I'm curious to know how that process went. Are there companies that still do that for novelty?
Yeah, there's one in Nashville and one in New York. I went with the one in New York because they were a little quicker turnaround. I needed them by quartet convention, not this past year, but year before.
Yeah.
And they turned them very quickly for me. It's kind of neat. I guess I thought nobody does this anymore, but there's always a market for it. And, you know, hip hop music uses the records and that kind of thing. But it's cool to get that and to hear it on vinyl. I honestly never thought I'd hear my voice on vinyl, but it was really cool.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain warmth to vinyl. There's a certain sound that, you know, other than having to flip the record over, which is a little aggravating at times, especially on the older, you're talking about the older projects being short songs. I mean, within 10 minutes, you're flipping it.
Right.
Because they put a lot of times 8 songs on it rather than 10.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I love the vinyl sound.
Jesus has a place for me to go. Trouble, grief, and pain will come no more. I'll receive a crown for the cross I bore. Over in the heavenly land,
I'm going to that land.
That land of pure delight.
No sorrow,
no sorrow, no more night.
All is joy,
joy in that wonderful home.
No more trials,
no trials, never wrong. Like a child to my father's abode,
to a land
where milk and honey flow.
I'm a go,
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 to a land where there will never, never be a care,
never be a care,
never, never be a care. Happiness and peace I soon will share when I enter heaven's portals fair. And behold his face so bright and fair. When my work on earth is done,
I'm going to that land.
That land of pure delight.
No sorrow,
no sorrow, no more night.
All is joy,
joy
wonderful home.
No more trials.
No trials, never at home.
Like a child.
Like a child to my father's abode.
To a land
where milk and honey flows.
I'm a go.
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 To a land where there will never, never be a care. Never, never be a care.
I'm going
to a land of pure delight. No more sorrow. And no more night.
No more trial.
Never to roam to a land where honey flows.
I'm going
to my father's abode.
To a land
where milk and honey flows.
I'm a going.
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 To a land where there will never, never be a care. Never be a care. Daniel Britton Friends.
Given down here of just how long our visit will last. Jesus has the power to take us away and blot out every sinful past. He'll reward each soul for all that we do, make our heavy burden so light. If we trust his love and pray our way through, he will surely make it all right. Though you may feel so blue, and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do. Think of glory and the joys awaiting you. Day and night, he will make your pathway bright.
Today on Daniel Britt and Friend. By the way, online at mercieswell.com, right?
Yeah.
And while we're talking convention style, and we've talked about the history of Kyle and Greg, Brad, let's talk about your grandfather?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not a first generation freak of nature that comes out of the womb and says, I want to do music. And everybody says, well, what's your real job going to be?
Right.
So there's been some experience.
Yeah, definitely. Family. Definitely. At least three generations in my family have been involved in Southern gospel music. My granddad, who passed away in the 60s, never got to meet him. But he had a quartet, and inside the CD package, there's a picture of his quartet. They had a radio show. Really neat. I actually do have an old 78 of them that was recorded unprofessionally at the radio station. Back then, you just stood around the record player and recorded. You just recorded there. It's almost like the old tape recorder things.
Right.
And And so I've heard so many stories that they would just basically put their songbooks, which is the way that we got the title for the album, put their songbooks under their arms, jump in the car, and no sound system, go to church. Sometimes they do as many as three churches in one Sunday.
Wow.
Do a morning and then an afternoon and then a night. And they would go do that. And it was, you know, just neat to see how they did it. And my granddad was a shape note guy. And he knew how to read them. He knew how to teach them. He went around doing that kind of thing. And so we even included a shape note song on this album.
So did you have to teach the guys shape notes, or did you have to learn it from...
Yeah,
you went to Stamps Baxter, yeah. So you probably learned it.
I do know them. I learned them a little later.
Yeah.
Learned them when I was 15. And these two don't have a clue about them, I don't think.
I just know that he's Dodo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Dodo, yeah.
I actually learned solfege at Liberty.
Did you? I didn't know that. Okay. I learned something.
I knew that would come out.
Liberty University.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So is there a market for the shape note singing these days?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have established that, huh?
Yeah, people love it. But of all the things we do, that's what it's when we finish the shape note chorus that we do, it always erupts in spontaneous applause because people are amazed that, you know, they don't know what we did or what we said, but they think it's cool. But, you know, I've heard Gerald Wolfe one time talk about it. You know, you explain it to them sound of music from a sound of music angle, you know, the doe, a deer, female deer. You know, sometimes they get that and they understand the correspondence there with the pitch of the note being a certain syllable. So,
right. Yeah.
So it's cool. I mean, it's fun.
Well, good job on putting this together and helping us to preserve the music, because I think it is a team effort. You know, one person, two people trying to preserve a whole historical segment of American art form, it's tough. So the more we have doing their share of paying honor and stuff like you've done with this is certainly great. Mercyswell.com is where you can get it. And the new project, by the way, is what's the title? Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's out. It's out on our website. It's not out in stores yet, but it is available on our website. It's called Power. And this is not a hymns recording by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a great, great CD full of some amazing new songs. And it had been almost 3 years since we'd done a new songs project. Skywriting was our last one. It had I'll See You Soon, Sun Will Shine Again, those songs on it. And so it was time, and we picked songs very carefully. And I think it's absolutely the songbook CD is always going to be one of my personal favorites, but I think this is the best thing that we've ever done. Power
stretched you a lot.
Yeah,
huh?
It did. It was really it stretched our sound and gave us firm roots in our identity and what we wanted to do and what we're trying to accomplish.
Kyle King, Greg Gaynor, and Brad Strider, Mercy's Well. Thanks, guys, for hanging out today.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.